I'm joined right now by the eminent cello virtuoso Matt Heimowitz, along with the pianist Mari Kodoma. They have a new recording out. It's called Mon Ami, Mon Amour, My Friend, My Love. Music by French composers, a wonderful recital here, so beautifully played. First of all, Matt, I want to congratulate you on your Grammy nomination, by the way.
Thank you. Yes, we were very excited about that.
Yeah, that's for a different album. You, also your wife, the composer Luna Pearl Wolf. And, we don't want to talk about that, but I do want to put out some congrats and best wishes for the awards when they come around.
Thank you. Well, we've been making records for Oxingill Records. That's our label for 20 years. So we're celebrating our big 20-year anniversary this year. It's a nice way to cap off.
Yeah.
Pretty difficult and dark year in many ways.
Absolutely. So much to talk about here. But I want to start with the story that you relayed in the program notes about your cello and giving a lesson to a student. He or she was working on the Francis Poulenc sonata for cello. And then you had an accident with your cello. And that was sort of what gave you the idea, I guess, for the French album. How did that come about?
Well, yeah, exactly. It came out of tragedy. I was teaching a very talented young man who was studying at the Paris Conservatory. He was a Canadian cellist, and he was playing the Poulenc sonata, and I just reached over for the score and lost my balance and had to make a split second decision of whether to release the cello or fall on top of it. And I chose the former. And in that moment, you know, it happened. I looked down at the ground and there was my cello in two pieces, and my heart was broken. This is a cello that I've been playing on for 30 years. It's been my companion. We know each other inside and out. And, you know, it's one of the great cellos. It's Matteo Grifoller, over 300 years old and made in Venice. And I don't know, something about the chemistry in the room, you know, made this happen. And so I started thinking, well, it happened during the Poulenc, during the, you know, while we were in sort of investigating this piece. The cello actually that the student was playing was a Stradivarius on loan from Canada Council. And interestingly, that Stradivarius has a name. It's the Bonjour Stradivarius. Mm-hmm. So it was a French cellist who played the instrument. The instrument's named after. So I don't know. Maybe my cello, you know, was kind of jealous of the Strad. I'm not sure what happened, but but I just started thinking, you know, well, first of all, how do I get the instrument repaired, and took it to New York, and it was worked on by several luthiers for a period of a year and a half. This is the first recording that I have the instrument back, and I'm playing it again. I've made every recording that I've ever made, really, on this cello. So it was hard to accept not playing it for a year and a half.
Well, it sounds beautiful, I have to say, on this recording. And kudos to you as a teacher for continuing the lesson after your cello broke.
Well, I tried to keep my composure, but it wasn't easy.
Yeah, I can just imagine that moment. You know, you talk about this recording, the genesis being, you know, in a time of darkness, as it were, when the cello was broken and removed from you for over a year. But also, you made this recording in 2019 before the pandemic hit the globe, and it's being released during the pandemic, of course. And there's certainly a message here, because there's music on here that speaks both to darkness and music that also speaks to great joy. How would you characterize it in terms of what's going on in the world right now?
Well, first of all, you're exactly right that the recording was made before the pandemic hit, and it was just really memorable, beautiful moments at Skywalker Ranch in Marin County, California, where we recorded, where the sessions were. And we just made music, and we were completely carefree. We didn't have to wear masks. We could be as close as we wanted to each other while we're playing, and none of these considerations that we now have to deal with. So that was wonderful. All of the post-production on this album happened during the pandemic, and so it was really kind of a lifesaver and very therapeutic to me personally, and I believe to Marie also, to remember our sessions and to kind of live with this music yet again and, you know, have something constructive to do and creative during this period. So we're very grateful to be able to release it. And I think you're right that there is some tension between the darkness and light in terms of much of this music on the album happens to come between the wars, between World War I and World War II. And these are difficult times, of course, historically, and now we're facing yet another challenge. But what's amazing to me is throughout, these composers just embrace this French sensibility of joie de vivre, you know, just really appreciating and celebrating life and what we have, even in the most difficult of circumstances.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some of the other music you have on here. We mentioned the Poulenc. There's also Gabriel Fauré, Darius Milhaud, Claude Debussy, Maurice Ravel. And the centerpiece, as it were, of the album is music from the Boulanger sisters. I was familiar with the three pieces by Nadia Boulanger, but I had not heard the two pieces by Lily Boulanger, people who had such a tremendous effect on composers in the 20th century, especially Nadia, of course, as a pedagogue. But Lily is a very tragic story. I mean, she died very young. There's a very limited amount of music written by her. Well, first of all, why did you choose these two composers to include on the disc? And then talk a little bit about their music that you've performed here.
Well, as we were looking for repertoire for this program, starting, of course, with the core, with the Poulenc Sonata, and then Debussy, of course, comes to mind as one of the seminal works by a French composer, and so we wanted to include that. But the Boulanger's, I also knew Nadia as a pedagogue, and many of the composers that I work with today, I mean, several of them have studied with her. She was the teacher of Philip Glass. She also taught Elliot Carter. She taught Astor Piazzolla, Leonard Bernstein, and many, many others. She really devoted herself to teaching, and fortunately, she composed these pieces that are originally for cello, and I only discovered those pieces as I was putting this program together with Marie, and we started kind of tossing ideas back and forth, and they're gems. They're beautiful. I wish she hadn't stopped composing, but I think she felt that her sister, Lily, was the true compositional talent, and when Lily passed away at the young age, you know, that she did, Nadia just felt that she had to put her own composition career on hold and just devote herself completely to teaching.
Yeah. You made your own arrangement here of that violin and piano piece by Lily Boulanger for the cello. Now, you also arranged the Kaddish of Maurice Ravel. Can you talk a little bit about your arrangement of those? I mean, do you have to transpose, or how does that work when you're moving from violin to cello?
Yes, well, each of those arrangements are quite different in approach, because with Lily Boulanger's pieces, you have it is originally for violin, so a lot of the writing is up high, and I actually enjoy playing up there in the cello, in the stratosphere, and so I've kept a lot of the registral choices in the original. I've just kept them as is. Every once in a while, I'll just change the timbre and bring it down. There's a moment in the second piece where Instead of playing super high in the violin range, I bring it down into sort of cello tenor range and add a ponticello, and so it kind of has a little glistening sparkle to it. Yeah, that way.
I was curious specifically about that ponticello because you can hear it in there.
But with the Ravel Kaddish is very different because there I'm trying to emulate a cantor,
right?
And so I have no words, so I have the words are gone, and somehow I have to get to the core and the spirit of that prayer for the dead in Jewish religion and Ravel's setting of it, and so that is very much, I'm thinking about how do I make my cello sing. And there's a moment there where I do add kind of a timbral dimension where I add a drone in the cello part just to sort of give it a little heft in terms of the weight of the sound. And yeah, that's just a very cello-y thing to do that, right? Of course a singer couldn't do that.
Yeah, but the cello certainly sings throughout this recording. Talk a little bit about the pianist, Mari Kodama. Have you worked with her before? You have a long relationship with her as a recitalist? Or,
well, amazingly, this is Mari's first chamber music album. She's made many recordings as a soloist, as a solo pianist. And I met her through her husband, actually, Kent Nagano, who's a wonderful conductor. And Kent and I both grew up in the Bay Area. And so I've known him for years, and then he introduced me to Mari. And they have a lovely daughter, Karin, who also plays piano and, in fact, released an album recently. And she's just graduated from Yale. And so the whole family is very musical. And Mari's sister is a wonderful pianist, Momo. So it's a very musical, they just live and breathe music, and so it's wonderful to make music with her, and I'm honored that this is her very first chamber album. You would never know it. She was so comfortable and easy, and there's just no ego when we work. We lose track of time, and just it's a real conversation, and of course she's got the chops of a solo pianist, so it's wonderful to have that as well.
Yeah. Well, in listening to the album, it sounded like you two have been playing together for many years. So, that's a compliment to your collaboration. This is recorded on your record label, Oxengale Records. You mentioned it's the 20th anniversary of that record company, which you formed with your wife back in 2000, I believe. Yeah. What made you decide to create your own record label, and tell us a little bit about the mission of what you're doing in that regard?
Well, I started my recording career with Deutsche Grammophon about 10 years before we started our own label, Oxengale, and now we are in collaboration with Pentatone in Amsterdam, and that's a wonderful partnership that's been going on for the last 5 years. It was a little bit of a crazy idea, but the record industry had changed so much by 2000, and in fact I would actually characterize it as imploding to some degree at that point. When I first started recording, I just missed the vinyl era. I was kind of excited to make my first LP, and then they sort of cut off LPs and started making CDs. Well, in 2000, with the internet and different ways of distributing music, there were a lot of indie rock bands and folk musicians, singer-songwriters who were starting their own labels and who were doing their own thing. And we took inspiration from that model and sort of applied that to the classical tradition. And as you say, with Luna's compositional background and my performance background, we really felt that we didn't want to have restrictions on what a classical recording looks like and sounds like, that we could really, you could have new music and old music together. You could have improvisation and composed music together. You could you know, just dream up projects, thematic ideas, and realize them and not have to worry about the bottom line and you know, the sort of marketing limitations and restrictions of a major label. So we started off on our own, just, you know, very naive and had no idea what we were doing, and have stuck with it over the last 20 years. And it's been quite a journey and, you know, very fulfilling.
Yeah. Well, I have to say the quality of your releases is just fantastic. And this recording just sounds so pristine and present and beautifully performed, but beautifully recorded as well. So it's a real pleasure to listen to.
Thank you.
Before I let you go, I've been asking musicians and composers, you know, how their life has changed in light of the pandemic. And you are a teacher. You do a lot of teaching. I imagine you're doing a lot of teaching online, right?
I'm doing only teaching online. I teach at McGill University at the Schulich School of Music, and I also teach at the New School at Manus Conservatory. And I have students right now really spread out all over the world, in China, in Israel, Europe, US, Canada. And we've been doing everything online with Zoom and some audio technology as well. And, you know, I was always skeptical about this technology, and I never actually did any online teaching, very rarely did any online teaching before the pandemic. And I'm a convert. I think it can be very helpful, and I'm certainly going to incorporate it in my future teaching life. And it's been amazing to have the contact weekly with my students all over. We have studio class, and just to see them every week and find out how they're doing and how everybody's dealing with the circumstances in different parts of the world. It's kind of a lifesaver, actually, in this period, because the performing arts have been decimated. You know, just concert life is just about non-existent. And we have virtual concerts, and we try to make up for it in different ways. But it's very, very difficult for what we do and what just the nature of musical performance.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the teaching has been incredible. It's been wonderful to spend time with the family and my girls. I don't think I've ever had such an extended period where I'm actually at home, and that's been wonderful. And I've become a really good cook, so that's also something that I mean, I love food, and I used to love going out and discovering chefs and getting to know chefs and wine too. But I'm quite proud of having cooked quite a few meals.
Yeah. That's great. Well, we await your cookbook somewhere down the road. And also, I imagine you're rather protective of your cello now when you're giving lessons.
Yes. You know, in the meantime, I mean, I had some cellos on loan from patrons, and it was wonderful to play some great instruments, but I also bought two Chinese cellos. So I have two more here in my studio, and I often will use one of those, you know. Well, when we were actually going to the university studio, and take, you know, I would take the bus down to downtown Montreal, so I started using the Chinese cello. So I'm a lot more cautious, yeah, with my Gofriller cello, which has seen some pretty crazy venues and you know, locales. I mean, this is the instrument that I brought to CBGB, a punk palace in New York City, which is now already gone, but I took this cello, you know, into those kinds of places, I am very cautious with it at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's wonderful to hear it again after an absence, this first recording of you being united with that 1710 cello. The album is called Mon Ami, Mon Amour, and it is from the Pentatone Oxengale series. Cellist Matt Heimovitz with pianist Marie Kodama. performing music of Poulenc, Fauré, Darius Milhaud, the Boulanger sisters, Maurice Ravel, and Claude Debussy. A wonderful French program of works. Matt Heimovitz, thank you so much for spending some time today and talking about this new recording here on FM 91.
A pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for having me.